Hello, human family. I'm Jocelyn, and I am grateful you're here. Welcome to the Starting with Gratitude podcast. This is a safe space intended to host heart-centered conversations exploring all topics of the human and spiritual experience. Every conversation starts with gratitude and remains rooted in gratitude. After you listen, make sure to join the community by subscribing and sharing. I am so happy you have joined us. Hello, Liviana.
Hello.
How is your spirit doing in this moment?
My spirit is trying to come back after the microphone situation, but it's settling in. Settling in all ways.
Yeah, I felt like there has been a lot of this like grounding energy lately of just like kind of like bringing you yourself back to center. But yeah, I'm really excited to get into this conversation with you. And I am going to ask you to share with us what it is that you feel grateful for.
Yeah, and I wrote it down, so I'll read it.
Beautiful.
I am grateful for my health, for my body that continues to function amazingly after everything it's been through. I am grateful for my home and how it holds all of us and provides space for our comfort and expression. I am grateful for my husband and all the sacrifices he does for my family. I am grateful for my kids and their unconditional love and patience. And I am grateful for you, Jocelyn. And the light that you shine in times of darkness.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And I love all your expressions of gratitude. It seems like you've had like family in mind, which I'm sure you always do as a mother, which I do want to touch on because I feel like you becoming a mother and experiencing motherhood has, you know, really transformed you and has, you know, created pivots in even your professional career.
Yes.
But let's begin with something that I always love to ask my guests in the beginning of our conversations, which is, you know, how would you describe this current season of your life?
I've never been asked that question. Gosh, it sounds so cliche because I'm turning 40 in 2022. So I do feel that season of life of starting to integrate everything that I've learned in my 20s, everything that I'm still learning in my 30s, I'm still 30 something, and trying to figure out packaging it and how can I give back? And at the same time, how can it be sustainable? In my 20s and 30s and early 30s, I was like learning and learning and learning and applying and giving and giving and giving in the exchange of experience in my profession as a psychologist. But then it drained me. And now with little kids, which is not traditional, even my parents had me when they were in their mid-20s, approaching the 40s, it feels like I need to be very careful with my energy, with my time, and really closing in on all these things that I've been doing for so long, because I feel like this is the time for me to retrieve, hold a little bit, keep the fourth, apply everything that I've learned that I do with clients, with me and with my kids, so I can set that foundation strong to then down the road be able to give back again. Like right now, I feel like the flow, it's like turning back to me in a way.
Yeah. Like just coming inward and reflecting on how like the past couple decades of your life, you've been in this mode of giving and of just like doing probably too. And now wanting to focus on just being. And I think that's a theme that a lot of people are kind of awakening to and realizing how much we've been doing and how much that exerts and depletes our energy, and how important it is to integrate more being, like just simply being.
Yes. And and recharging. And then I'm also questioning so many things. I think the pandemic and everything that's going on has highlighted a lot of my BS beliefs, I would say, this superficial beliefs, and that inherently I know they're good. And I know I'm being like very abstract about it, but at the same time, a lot of those were not grounded, like in, I feel like, in real life experience. Like, to give you an example, more on the, you know, being so upfront in all this, not fights, but this like advocacy and campaigns about social justice and all these things that are very important. But then at the same time, following in that same mode, things that I was against of, which is the judging or now I'm the right and they're the wrong, all these things that I'm like, whoa, I went to the other extreme. And now I'm finding myself like, what is that middle ground? How did my ancestors handle this? Like, I feel like in many ways we're, sorry, I'm like going super deep already, but
I love it.
In many ways we're like fantasizing all these ideas about our indigenous ancestors and all the things. And I think a lot of it is very important, but we're forgetting that. Like, I was talking with a friend from Puerto Rico, and the Carib indigenous communities, I mean, there's still some Carib in what's the country that I visited, that it was Dominica. Mm-hmm. I saw that they had villages of Carib island indigenous, and they're not Taínos in like that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, if Spain wouldn't have come, or any other European settlers, mm-hmm. the Carib probably would have been the ones that were in Puerto Rico, because they were coming a lot mm-hmm. to come and try to take the land. So that aspect of wanting to take the land and do these things and do that, I feel like in many ways we forget that kept happening. So I bet we would not be still Taínos now. The Caribs were coming in, and maybe I even have more Carib blood because I'm from the East Coast, and that's where they would come more. Mm-hmm. They were coming from that side. So it's just an idea of like, trying to really like ground myself into all these things that I'm fantasizing and making this is, oh, this life is so horrible because that other life would have been amazing, and be like, not to say that we don't know, but also knowing that there will still be struggle. I think like we're fantasizing on this idea that if we take this out, then things will be perfect. And it's mm-hmm. like, we're still humans. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am in life, like really exploring all these things that I've idealized and fantasized as this is the way to go, to be like, whoa, is that the way to go? Mm-hmm. What am I really thinking? Am I really, you know, what's that in between? What is, how to really see things? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're getting me, but.
No. And I think it's so beautiful that you are allowing yourself to question your beliefs. And I think that that's something that more people should do, because I think, you know, there's so much that comes into play with this. You know, there's, you know, the past couple of years that we've experienced that have really brought up so many truths, but also have, you know, really, you know, brought up a lot of transparency in not only others, but ourselves and the world we live in, and, you know, the governments we're governed by, and the ways of how society responds to things. But also it's, you know, our relationship with technology, and how, you know, so many people are projecting all of these beliefs, all of these, you know, things that we're intaking on a daily basis and losing ourselves in them. And also this rise in, you know, quote unquote spirituality, and how much is floating out there and people are just kind of taking in. And it really is so important at this time to practice discernment and like really get to know, like, what do I actually believe in? You know, what energy actually belongs to me and what doesn't belong to me? What Yes. thoughts, you know, are rooted in, you know, my own values, and what thoughts have I, you know, took on from, you know, scrolling every single day? So I love that you're...
That's, That part is like a quote there. Yes, it's so important. And even thinking, because it's such an interesting and hard times for people that are, I feel like they're doing their reclamation work. They're trying to like really understand where they're coming from and all that, because of this era of Aquarius is so like spirituality and this and that and all that. And so you can have access to it, but at the same time, is that really what you're looking for? Mm-hmm. And even if your ancestors practice that, even if that, is that something that serves you right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm even like going deep into stuff like I live right now in, you know, in Tongback territory cold as LA, and the temperature here for the most part is like, you know, it doesn't get that cold, but still my body had to adjust here because my 500 plus years ancestors were in more tropical climates. Mm-hmm. So all those things about, you know, the food that is here that is different there, the aspects here. So maybe I can go and eat the food that was in Puerto Rico, but would that apply here to this dry weather? Mm-hmm. As opposed to super humid. So all those things I'm really like teasing out and not being so kind of like either or, mm-hmm. being what applies to me right now. Mm-hmm. And that part is hard because the society right now is like, look here, this is shiny object, practice these, plant medicine and all these things. And you're like, whoa, that sounds cool. But does that helps me? Mm-hmm. And who's teaching that? And are they like sounded in like really a lineage that deserves to be doing that? There's so much.
Mm-hmm. so much. So that's why, you know, I love that you're touching on this and that you're, you know, vulnerably sharing with us that you're at this, you know, season where you're questioning, you know, what it is that you are implementing, what you have implemented within yourself. And like I said, I do feel like, you know, it's important to remember that it's good for us to question the information that we receive. You know, it's good for us to look deeper into, you know, who is teaching and who is sharing these beliefs and these thoughts. And, you know, do I sincerely resonate with them? Do they sincerely serve me well? So I love that. And I love that we're touching on all this because this is kind of what I've wanted to bring up with you. And I wanted to bring up this quote that you shared on your Instagram recently that does touch on, you know, our ancestors. It says, learning to do it all served my ancestors. In fact, it even saved them. It made them self-sufficient during a time they would have not survived otherwise. However, it is not serving me anymore. It's leading me to burnout, sickness, anxiety, and loneliness. What inspired you to write this and to share it?
Yeah, it was one of those that it just came. I get a lot of those ideas, and I was quiet enough, not having the kids near me, that I could write it, because I get a lot of those sometimes that in really awkward times. But I feel, and when I told this to my husband, he laughed a little bit. He's like, what are you talking about? But I feel like being a business owner and moving into that realm, expanding myself out of the therapy world, because the therapy, I've been doing it for 13 years. You know, I feel very confident and I know what I feel like I know what I'm doing for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And, but trying to do this online business, trying to do this marketing, trying to do this, I found myself trying to go to those old behaviors when I was in grad school. I'll do it all. But I have, you know, very low information about SEO. And yes, I got a course, but I have to go and learn it. I know very little about marketing. I know very little about contacting the brands. I know very little about all these things. So I feel like this side of the business has helped me put in practice or really have a mirror of like, oh, wow, I was keep doing. So it's a tool for me, for my healing, if that makes sense. Because I'm seeing all this, and I have sometimes found myself like trying to wanted to do it all, mm-hmm. and want, and so delegating has for me has been so healing.
Mm.
Really trusting that I have my editor for my podcast, and I have someone else that listens. I don't even listen to it. I have someone that writes the graphics, and for me to keep letting go of the task, which is that delegating, has been so helpful. And at the same time, in the community, in the Latinx community. And for the people that I coach, there's still that idea that I can do it. I can do it. I can edit. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And then I started thinking, how it's even a value of how important. And I've seen so many other therapy groups in Facebook and stuff like, oh, you just learn how to do it. Just do your website. And that's what I did. I did my first website and it took me, so I was reflecting about all of that. And when I did my own website, it took me like a month to try to figure out. And I'm like, why did I waste it that time? But I felt so proud because that inherent internalized belief that you're self-sufficient. It was amazing for my ancestors. And so glad that they did, but now it's not serving me. So I'm also been reflecting a lot about the things that served you, even at certain points of your life that are not serving you, but you continue to do them because that's what you learn, but now they're not. Because if I do that, I would not expand. I would not be able to do what I really love, which is teaching, talking, sharing. That's what I love. I don't like doing any SEO, building marketing, graphics. That's not my area of strength. So, and the loneliness I feel is because when you go into that sense, like I can do it all, then you really don't rely on anyone. And you feel like this sense that you, it's harder for you to even ask for help, which is another area of growth for me, you know, working, but that's where it came. Super long story about it, but it's, and it's been a continuing, and most recently I've been just holding on it because I didn't want to like rush it because it's about rushing. I've been reflecting about rushing and how I listened to IG live and recorded, and it was one of the themes that they brought was that, and I'm like, this goes hand in hand because I was rushed my whole life because my parents had to rush, my grandparents had to rush their lives in order to get and break patterns. Sometimes you have to do that, you know, to do extra fasting, but then when do you rest? And we forget, we continue that pattern. My parents continue that pattern. My dad, even he's retired. And he rushes. Even I ask him for something and he has to do it like in less than 24 hours. He does it. He finds a phone number. And I'm like, why are you rushing?
Yeah.
But is that internalized belief of something that helped you that is no longer serving you? And I don't need that right now. I don't have someone that is next to me. You know, like if I don't have it, I'm going to die. But sometimes I feel that way because it's so internalized.
And it's ancestral, as you've been talking about. Yeah. And it really does tie into, you know, being in survival mode.
Yes.
And I feel like there's also an essence of like a scarcity based mindset there, because it's like, I have to do this all myself. Because I mean, when you really ask yourself that question, you realize like, wait a second, I actually don't have to do this all myself. And you realize, actually, I don't need to rush things. And, you know, I see that in my family too. You know, there's still a lot of like, you know, yo puedo hacer todo. And it leads to exhaustion. It leads to depletion. It leads to, you know, even bodily dysfunction. And it's so true that like we don't have to operate that way anymore. And something that I thought of a while ago is that, you know, our ancestors, you know, exhausted themselves, and the ancestors, the loving ancestors, they don't want us to be exhausted. They did that work. We don't need to do that anymore. So yeah, that is also true. And I feel like a lot of people, again, are coming to this realization of like where they are in survival mode, where they have, you know, those tendencies to, you know, be rooted in scarcity. So I love that you are practicing delegation. And, you know, for me also, I was literally just thinking about this yesterday, how asking for help is something that makes me feel so uncomfortable, but I know that it's necessary. You know, like I don't want to live a life where I do everything myself. I don't want to live a life where, you know, I'm exhausted because, you know, I'm creating this pressure on myself that doesn't need to exist. And I'm worthy of asking for help. I'm worthy of, you know, allowing other people in, but, you know, it is a practice.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a hard habit, an internalized belief, and, you know, however we want to call it, it's so hard. And I, something else that inspires me with that is I do immigration evaluations as well. So I've heard so many stories of immigration. And usually I see like most of the ones that I've been doing have been women, women that have children here. They're even like teens or young adults that they even say, I've never even shared this with my kids. And I feel like these stories, because there's, you know, a lot of it is like shame and guilt. It's like, we don't talk about it. We just keep on going. They're very intense and very important sometimes for their adult children or children to understand where they're coming from and why so many of this internalized beliefs. And they're like trying to figure out, but there's no explanation. It could really help that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that happens is in, you know, with the Latinx community, and a lot of immigrants or communities that have been marginalized, is you become prideful of it. I did it. So then you expect that to others, or when you see, even though you wanted your children to not have to have so many sacrifices, when you see that they're being lazy, quote unquote, then that triggers them. And then that creates like, and I've even had, because I also see families, that aspect like, but I was able to do this and that and that and that and that, and I had you kids and I did not go to school, and it's this aspect, but it's really hard because it's like you're being triggered because you're seeing that they're resting, and it's probably what you've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But now that you're older, you're not allowing yourself because of the internalized piece. So you're projecting to them that anger because you want them, in a way, it's not that you want them to suffer, but you don't want, you cannot even allow yourself to rest. So, and that's something that happens a lot here with the families that I work with, even with my parents, is like, well, I used to do that. Like whenever I say anything about my kids, it's like, well, I was a mom, and it's like, whoa, like, okay. Kind of like, instead of like, oh, wow. Yes. It's so hard. How can, you know, I did that sacrifice so you wouldn't be able to do it. We forget the why we did that, why we made that sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the people are not seeing, oh, my parents got triggered. They're seeing there's something wrong with me. Why am I being lazy? You know? Mm-hmm. So then the patterns continues and continues.
Yeah. I love that you're bringing this up, because it's so true that, you know, coming to the awareness of the ways in which we ourselves are operating from these kinds of systems that are, you know, cyclical and have been passed down for generations, not only does it help us, you know, understand ourselves more deeply and heal ourselves, but it also, like you said, helps us understand our parents, understand our family, understand these, you know, older generations that don't have the awareness we have now, didn't have the options that we have now, didn't have the tools that we have now. And it does, you know, allow us to be in relationship with them with more grace and more understanding and more compassion, you know, when they do respond from like a triggered state. I know that, you know, for me personally, this awareness has definitely helped me, you know, be in a healthier relationship with my mom, because, you know, she definitely has those tendencies and I totally understand her. You know, I understand when she gets frustrated. I understand when she gets mad or upset, because, you know, in a simple example of like, you know, seeing, you know, your children rest or not do anything where you know, didn't have that option, or you didn't allow yourself that option. And so you feel like insulted in a way, or like, you know, like, yeah, it's so complex, but it's
super complex. Yeah. But, and the hard part is the pride that comes with it. It's like, I did it all because of this individualistic culture that really honors that, but in a way it could be because they want to keep us traumatized, which is another story. But it's like this idea that, you know, like you do it all and you accomplish all these things on your own, and it's like a badge of honor that we're putting for doing things on our own. Even school systems now, I know some schools are adapting the project based, but I did not get that. It was very, you know, my test. It's like, that's your test. It's like, everyone is so individual and you do it on your own. And it's like this idea of like, you were able to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. And we forget, it's like, we need society. How are we really fostering that part that I can do things? That's great. But we're also needing each other, even mm-hmm. driving. Sometimes we forget when we're driving, you're driving okay, but you need everyone else to be driving okay. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you will be getting into accidents, you know? So we're interconnected, even though we don't want to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on this topic too, it's like, this is why we say that resting is healing and is a part of breaking those generational cycles, like us allowing ourselves to rest, which seems very simple, but it actually is very, you know, impactful.
It is. It's so hard because, yeah, I still see my parents and they find something. Because that was that idea. It's like, oh, I'm just so tired. Oh, you're tired? Okay, go and clean, like, limpia la ventana. There's always something to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Something that, you know, a reason why I wanted to talk about ancestors in the first place with you is because when we first met and we briefly touched on ancestral work and you were telling me that that's something you were getting into and, you know, you had someone tell you that it's important to distinguish that there's certain ancestors you want to connect with and there's other ancestors that may not have your best interest in mind. And I think that's very important to come to the awareness of. But I wanted to touch base with you and see, you know, how your ancestral work has been coming along.
Yeah. We met like about a month ago. So it's been on hold. It's been on hold for the book I have it next to my bed. But what I've continued is I connect a lot with one of them, which is she's no longer here, but I grew up with my grandma. Mm-hmm. I'm connecting a lot with her and via signs is what I'm at the moment doing. Mm-hmm. I kind of put on pause the going deep into finding what lineage to work with because there's a lot going on in my life. And I feel like that could be like an extra. So I'm being also gentle with myself of the timing, mm-hmm. which the previous Lydia and I would be like, let's just go in and let's just do it. Again, mm-hmm. the rushing part, like, you know, like now I'm like, wait, timing is might not be better. I mean, the best right now. So taking it slower, but I've been getting a lot of signs via animals lately. It's been again, wings from like, you know, from birds and stuff in the most random places. I found one on the airplane bathroom. I'm not kidding. I should have taken a picture. I did not have my phone with me. I think it was probably a clothing item or whatever, but when I was going to wash my hands in the bathroom, I saw a little one. I'm like, okay, thank you. So whenever I see a sign or something, I'm always saying thank you and acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. My grandma also speaks to me via flowers and roses. And so like trying to get that. And the other day I was in the second floor and I got a dragonfly, like got into the window. I'm like, okay, thank you. So that's how I'm getting, like, I feel that I've been getting messages that they're with me and they're okay. Like, mm-hmm. even if I am not like turning on the candle and doing the ritual that I was going to do, to know that it's okay, because sometimes we put all these ideas of how it has to be. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do it that way, then we even shame ourselves during mm-hmm. the healing journey. And it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The well-intended ancestors don't want that. They don't want me to shame myself for not doing those things. So, mm-hmm. so taking it very slow and steady. And I'm reading a book right now. The author's name is hard for me to like right now remember, but it's a long name. But later on, I can send it to you. But I've been reading a little bit of that book, and it's their story of, it's actually the person that Daniel Four mm-hmm. got trained with. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Four was the one that I told you at the dinner mm-hmm. that I have their book as well. But this person is an African man that Daniel learned from. So I'm reading mm-hmm. their book first. Mm-hmm. And it's like their story of growing up. And it was an interesting, because so far what I've read is like how he was born and was taken to one of those schools for, you know, kind of like same here for indigenous communities and children. And over there, they were taught in English and all these things, but then they had to go back to their community. So like, it was like already like a bicultural experience. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I am. But that's what I'm doing. Taking it slow, communicating, thinking. For Dia de los Muertos, I did a little altar, trying to be respectful, because that's not a tradition that Puerto Rican or I was raised with, but also trying to connect from the Taino perspective that they did in fact did some work for not necessarily Dia de los Muertos, but for, you know, like honoring their ancestors. So trying to like be mindful of that and finding ways to connect with them on a daily basis, especially mm-hmm. with my grandma.
Yeah.
So I talk to her, you know, sometimes I see a flower and I talk, mira abuela, que linda esta flor. Like, I bet you would like it or something mm-hmm. to try to keep that connection alive because mm-hmm. they're here. They're just, it's a thin veil. They're just somewhere else, but I cannot see them, but they're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love how this is kind of becoming a conversation on like allowing ourselves grace and kind of being more okay with taking our time and being more mindful of where we're delegating our energy. So I like that you brought up too of how we can have the tendency to feel bad or to shame ourselves or feel guilty if we're not, you know, partaking in these spiritual rituals a certain way, which is very counterintuitive because, right. you know, spirituality in its essence is a very healing, beautiful experience. And so if there's anything that's, you know, having you feel anything other than, then it's not the way. But it really is as simple as just, you know, talking to them and, you know, thanking the signs when you intuitively feel that they have come to be received by you and like actually receiving them. And I think that in itself is honestly the most powerful way to just open yourself and your channel up to receive them and let them know that you're welcoming them and you want to connect with them and develop that relationship with them. So yeah, I was just curious to see like, you know, if you had, you know, gone any other.
No. But, you know, it's so, but just sharing is so important because all those extra things. And now I'm taking, the other thing I'm doing is I'm taking a year long course with Iyan Love and Scent, which well, you've heard of her. Mm-hmm. And she's my go-to for anything like spiritual. I feel like I want to embody more of her fierceness and all that. So the course is the whole year and it's on the subject on discovering and talking about God, just mm-hmm. God in general. And one of the things that we're touching right now is like silence mm-hmm. and all these extra things are extra, but what you really just need is silence so you can get the download and connect. But all those things, you know, smudging and all that, those are the frosting of it to kind of maybe help you to calm down. Mm-hmm. They're extra, but sometimes mm-hmm. we go into like, we need to have, and some, I was going down, like I have a little altar for my business. I have this thing. And it was like, I have to do all this thing. And it was like, I left the Catholic church because it was, I did not like their step one, step two, step three. Why am I doing that for my own spiritual practices? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I can just connect, which is taking a deep breath, slowing down and just be like, I'm here mm-hmm. and looking out the and seeing, even if I live in the city, there's some little trees in my little patio, just sitting there and seeing my yellow amapola and the little pine tree and just seeing the little birds. That way I'm connecting. I don't need to like go hiking to connect with nature. I don't need, you know, we keep putting all these things that are, especially for people that caregivers and that don't have that much time, I would never connect. Imagine mm-hmm. if I would have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really an important distinguishment. I don't know if that's it's not a word, but to make is like everything else outside of you is extra. That's all a tool to assist you. And you yourself are the channel. You yourself are the vessel that is ultimately going to be, you know, connecting you and deepening you and healing you. Everything else, as mm-hmm. you said, is extra and is a tool.
Yeah.
I want to kind of touch on the past 2 years that we've experienced. You know, now 2021 is coming to a close and, you know, coming into this year, I'm not sure what I thought, but I thought that it would be easier than last year, but I didn't expect for it to continue to really be as awakening and pivotal as it was. And I'm guessing that, you know, these past 2 years have contributed to you currently reflecting on how you're delegating your energy and you reflecting on, you know, how you've had these tendencies of exhausting yourself, of, you know, all of these things that we've been talking about. How, you know, and also, as I mentioned, the rise in spirituality, but not only that, but the rise in mental health, the popularity and awareness of that. I feel like last year there was like a moment where I feel like therapists and psychologists and all of them were very like bombarded with, you know, needing to help others and be there and contribute, you know, like their knowledge to others because of how much we were going through as a collective. So how, you know, did the past two years impact you and how was that experience for you?
Yeah.
Especially as a, you know, licensed. Yeah.
It's interesting because at the end of 2019, I had this very intense slowdown. And it was this intense, you know, message that kept coming in many different ways. Slow down, stop everything. I was involved in so many things. I was doing in-person things. I had a PR representative. I had so many things and I was like very outward and I felt this incredibly like go back. So I followed through, which I've never done before, to really follow this intuition without having any logic behind it. And I let down people because, you know, I ended up contracts and stuff. But after I did that, I found out I was pregnant. So it was so interesting. Usually big transitions happen with me with babies as well, which I hope I'm done with transitions for now. I don't want any more babies. But so then I got pregnant and that automatically put me again into like a very like cocoon, especially the first trimester. It hits me really bad, but I was with nausea the whole, and then my mom got a very like, what's the word? Like, it's not severe, but she had a very intense or I don't know, like dangerous or surgery because they discovered lung cancer after a breast cancer like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So during that Christmas 2019, 2020, I was in the hospital with her during her surgery and she came out, she's fine. But it was like, whoa, they're asking me to slow down and they're asking me to like really retrieve. And then March came and went, and I was going to deliver a baby in May, a home birth. That was the plan, which thankfully I had it, but it was this, oh my God, like, what if I get COVID and I won't be able to do it? What if they get COVID and they won't be able to do it? And I had to let go. So there was a lot of let go even before the heart of the COVID hit, I felt. So by the time that happened, then I was already creating systems to let go. I went on maternity leave in 2020, you know, and I started back with clients slowly. So I'm glad. Mm-hmm. I prepared myself and I went on my own before having the second baby and the pandemic hit, because I started seeing a lot of therapists seeking like leaves because they were burnout and they were like, their mental health was being impaired because of so much that they were doing and their families. And so in a way, I'm grateful that I had that preparation before. Like in 2018, I let go of my part-time that I had and I went on for me. So like all those things that had to happen, but now as I look back and reflect, they were preparing me for this time. Mm-hmm. So, and then when a lot of the therapists were like super outward, which it was like around summer 2020, I was still on maternity leave. And even though I wanted, I was like, I can't. My brain is still like figuring out if I need to change a diaper, did I take a shower? Like, I can't. So now that I'm like out of that maternity part, because I'm, you know, baby's a year and a half, I'm no longer breastfeeding and all that, I feel like I have the room. So it's a good timing, because a lot of people are like slowing down because they're like, I'm burnt out of helping. I feel like my reserve is still strong because I've paced myself, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, it has helped me as well to also stay true to myself and keep my small prior practice. I bet I could have expanded. Maybe I could have created a business out of it. I just did not had the time and the mental space to do it. Mm-hmm. And I remember a mentor at that year, I was in a mastermind. They were like, they're going to need therapists for many more years. Cause I felt like initially, I felt like this, I need to help right now. I would go to Instagram and like 15 people were in lives at the beginning. I don't know if you remember, like, yeah, summer 2020. It was like everybody was talking about everything. And I was like, I feel like I have so much to give. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, energy. And she's like, calm down. It's still going to be needed. This is not going to be like an end. So in that way, I'm pacing myself as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm staying true and honest. And I think my kids help me. Mm-hmm. Because I have them here. I work from home for the moment. So hearing them and all that, I cannot be working at late at night. I cannot be working. I try to do it some Saturdays. I just couldn't anymore because they play and, you know, they, mommy. So that has helped me to create clearer boundaries, mm-hmm, and keep myself sane because I know this is a long term. I also, when it all started, I read a little bit about the Spanish flu that it took 2 years. So I was already, this is going to take minimum 2 years. So I was not thinking 2021 was going to be easy. And now I'm like, with everything that's going on in the world, I'm thinking we're going to start breathing like 2024, 2025. So I'm also prepping myself for that. There's still so much shift. 2022, we're planning a huge shift as a family. So there's so much going on that I'm like pacing myself. Keep my 2 days that I'm seeing clients, work with therapists at the moment, because mm-hmm, even though I would love to go back to offering services for the general population as retreats and programs and stuff, mm-hmm, I can't because my small practice, my clients are going through a lot and that is draining if I expand and create all this. So for my other time, I'm working with other therapists and helping them build their own businesses. And that is still not as draining because I'm not talking about the trauma necessarily or going in depth, mm-hmm, but like really being really mindful of what am I pouring back in? What am I pouring out? How can this be sustainable? Because I feel whatever is going on, not only COVID, everything that's going on in the world is going to keep being like this. We're shifting. The world is, some people say that we're moving from a different, you know, to the fifth dimension or whatever, but I feel like we're going through this big transformation and things, even like I've been looking, you know, like wars, they usually take like about 4 to 5 years. So I'm like, okay, this is like a 4 or 5 year period, mm-hmm, that I'm anticipating and prepping for that. And if it ends earlier, then good. And if it doesn't, you know, at least I think like super long-term. Mm-hmm. And then now I hear people that are like, oh, based on astrology, that sounds very sound. And I'm like, this has just been honestly my intuition, but now I'm finding things that I can be like, oh, based on this, that might be explaining why, but it's just going back in and holding. And then for my own mental health, I've been really right now exploring more connecting, because I've kind of negated myself a little bit of that because of COVID and everything. And I have amazing neighbors and all that. So those are the ones that I'm connecting more. But again, making the effort to go back and connect to people outside and outside of my neighbors, outside of my clothes, because we need community. And so that's the piece that I'm trying to focus the most right now. Not pushing, but like motivating myself to start slowly those things outward for social.
Yeah. And when I came across your work and what you're investing in and creating and how you're giving of yourself, I think it's the first time that I've heard of therapreneurship, which I love. And I love that you are assisting other therapists who want to really create, you know, really just like kind of step into their gifts and be of service. Yeah. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, at this time there are a lot of people who are seeking to step into their gifts and be of service and get into the mental health and wellness space. So for those that are interested in that and intrigued by that and feel called to do that, and since you are, you know, dedicating a part of yourself to assisting those people, What advice would you give them stepping into that?
I would start with going inward to really, and it's not this like romanticized idea of find your purpose, because there's so much there, but really like explore when you were a little kid, what were those innate interests that you had, which I know trauma can impact and that can impact your ability, but for the majority, even during trauma, like even when I work with children that have gone through a lot of trauma, they still have this innate interest in things, you know, in toys or hobbies or activities or something. And to really explore that, because that can start giving you that little hint of what to do, of what is one of your gifts, in case it's really hard to think, what is my gift? Because I know that's very singular, but we have gifts. And then to really go into exploring the body, befriending your body, which is stuff that I would like to do again when I have more mental space for the general population. Befriending your body, it's so important. So that way you can start tapping into intuition. And what you're listening is not the anxious fear voice and internalized stuff. It's more of that intuition of calmness, of your God voice. You know, we can talk about it in so many ways, but your body can help you with that. Like really look for things that expand yourself and notice when you do something that expands yourself versus something that contracts yourself. That can be a simple tool to start exploring the things that you want. And then after that is then start thinking or talking with someone to strategize, how can you use this gift? What would be a way? Because a lot of times, I mean, I do have the big vision. I'm a big vision person. And I feel like that's been one of the hardest things of having small children during this time, that I have to like, okay, this is bite size for now. Because even though I see the whole big picture, and I know that if I don't sleep and work, you know, and, you know, like all week, I can get that and I will be in a different space, but is that what I want? No. So like find the bite size. You can change, you can use your gifts even in small doses. And we forget to do that, especially in the US, we think about everything big. So really start thinking, how can you start doing that? If it's like doing some kind of healing practices, and maybe you don't have the time to create your own healing, you know, agency or whatever, can you do it like 4 hours a week? Or can you start with people in your family? What can you start? So that way you can start using those gifts and doing it, because the more that you do them, they grow and it's like they become clearer and clearer and clearer. And that's why I'm very much of like, I hear the nudge and taking that intuition, taking that step, even if I don't know the next staircase, you know, what's the next step? Because then I'm like, oh, like one of the things that I'm discovering is that I've always wanted to like impact lots of people. And I always thought that it would be not be a therapy, because I can do that one-on-one in groups, but I thought of like creating programs for that. But now I'm touching on those people via the therapists that I'm coaching, that they are creating and bringing their own medicinas. And those clients that have been waiting for their medicinas are going to now start receiving it, because a lot of things that get in the way is confidence, is fear, imposter syndrome, not knowing or thinking that it's this way. There's so many things. So unblocking that to start being like, start taking one little step here, one little step there. And even if you touch one person, you did not just touch one person. That person can touch one or two person. And if it's that snowball effect, but we minimize things as it was only one person. No, by touching that person, maybe that person was different in their home with several other people. And those people were, and they're different with their peers, and they're, you know, and that way snowball effect. So like really thinking on those small, but big impactful things that you can do.
Yeah. I love that you emphasize the importance of acknowledging how powerful like one impact makes, because it really is a ripple effect. And I think it is kind of tied to American culture of like how everything has to be big. And if it's not big, then it's not, you know, impactful or important or purposeful or, you know, making a difference. And I also love that you also touched on the importance of our intuition, which is connected to, you know, our body and our relationship with our body, because it's with our body that we're able to connect and listen to our intuition. And that's something that I was thinking and speaking on not too long ago, just like, you know, the realization of how everything is interconnected. Everything is interconnected, our mind with our body with our spirit with our mind, all of it. And it is important that we invest in healing our relationship with our body, because in doing so, we are strengthening our intuition, we're strengthening, you know, our ability to feel, we're strengthening, you know, our ability to tap into what our gifts are. And, you know, and also you bringing up the importance of, you know, tapping into our inner child. I feel like, you know, and that's a whole other conversation of inner child work. But, you know, really, there really are so many answers there when we go into that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's not, you know, most people are very much like, but I'm here. I'm okay. I have a job. I have a family. Is that what we really came here to do? You know, we didn't came here to just have a job and that. We came here for more. I mean, that's what I believe. And So our inner children and our experiences that we had really, really impacted us. And people are still making decisions. I still make decisions based on a younger part. Mm-hmm. Because that triggered me, and that younger part made a promise to themselves for not believing this, not doing that, and now they are the ones responding. So yeah, inner child is like a whole other huge thing.
Yeah. I can't believe it's already, you know, an hour in. And there's so much I could speak on with you, but I'm gonna go ahead and kind of bring this full circle just by asking you what some of your, you know, favorite self-realizations have been. Could be recently or could be, you know, whatever is first coming up for you, but what are some self-realizations you've had that have been very impactful for you, or awakening, or just very healing?
It's been like a remembering, and sometimes I forget and then I remember, but really the importance of coming back to presence. And, you know, like whenever I'm rushing, I'm always thinking about the future and all these things. It's like coming back to presence and how can I find joy? And I say this and there's a little part of me goes like, yeah, but lately you've been trying to go away. And it's like true, because I feel like it's, again, the being a mom is a whole different conversation, but I feel like when we come back to presence and joy and finding things that provide us pleasure, even the small things, I've been very increased my consciousness of being more mindful of when I'm sitting down and eating, how am I providing nutrient to my body? How am I, you know, enjoying the smell of, I don't drink any more coffee at the moment. I'm drinking now, like it's Rasa. I like their herbal things, and it's a herbal thing that it's a tonic and it helps with energy. But when I drink it, really smell it, really savor it, because those little moments are so important. And we keep thinking of that day that I'm going to go and take the massage, that day that, that I'm going to like go hiking or go to a healing retreat. But it's like the small increments of moments throughout the life, throughout your day, lighting a candle that you like trying to like really be mindful of like smells that I love. I don't use perfume, but I use essential oils, you know, little things like that to like really enhance my senses and come back, because that's what life in many ways is about. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be things that are not going to go your way. But if we keep waiting for the perfect time for that, which is like a message for my younger self, that she kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And then you get in, you're like, oh, that was it. After I made all the sacrifice. And now I'm really trying consciously to enjoy little things, little pleasure throughout.
Yeah. Something that came up for me as you were describing that is like sensualizing all the little moments. And Yeah, it really is very powerful. I've been practicing that too, just like really being present with the senses. And something as simple as like when we eat our food, you know, really setting the intention that this is going to nourish my body and I'm going to be present and like taste all the flavors and the textures and all of that. So I love that.
Super important. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to hold space for you if there's anything you'd like to add, but if not, todo bien.
Todo bien. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yes, I feel like this conversation can keep on going and we can go deep and talk in so many things. So thank you for the work that you do, for offering this space to go deep, because there's a lot of superficial stuff lately. So I always love when I am able to go deep and into substance. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.